If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The NFL Combine is over in Indianapolis. Now we turn to free agency coming up oh so quick. Got to make a decision on franchise player tags by Tuesday at 4 p.m. Will it be Antoine Winfield Jr. for the Bucs? And the fate of Mike Evans, man. This is the big story, and it's what we're going to start with, is over the weekend, and it's not a surprise, but when you hear it sort of verbalized as I did and others, that Mike Evans is going to try free agency. He is going to not sign with the Bucs for now. Doesn't mean that it won't ultimately be where he comes back and agrees to play. But this close to free agency, having never been a free agent before, it was confirmed by me and others that, you know, Mike is going to test free agency. He wants to talk to other teams. Now, he has some conditions, however. He wants to play for a playoff contender. That's not a surprise given his age and the fact that he's won one Super Bowl and been in the playoffs four straight years and the only 4 years of his career. And then two, he wants to play with an elite quarterback. Now, Steve, I don't know what you consider elite, but I take that. I would not exclude Baker from that category. Now, me and you talking, I would say, oh, so Brady retired. Who are you going to play with? Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, like who are we talking about? But I don't think he excludes Mayfield in that conversation. I just think he's saying, hey, I don't want to go, you know, maybe someplace where there's a wobbly rookie or, you know, a stopgap free agent. I suppose.
You're not playing for Clayton Toon in Arizona or.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, basically.
I mean, he's not the starter anymore, but.
No, but he was for a little while. Or you know, anybody the Patriots may wind up with.
You're not doing Malik Willis at Tennessee.
There you go. Malik Willis at Tennessee. You don't want to do that. I think them are the conditions, and they will be met. But look, I mean, a guy like that, an historic type of player, 10 straight years of 1,000 yards or more, all those records that he's gunning for, and the fact that at age 30, he had one of his best years ever. I mean, 1,255 yards, 13 touchdowns, tied Tyreek Hill for the most in the NFL, had a touchdown in the postseason. The dude can ball, and it actually, I think his last two or three years have been his best years in some respects. Certainly, he stayed healthy, knock on wood. He hasn't had the injuries that, say, Chris Godwin has had or others. And he is beating Father Time pretty handily. And I think there's going to be a market for him. And to me, you know, just kind of looking back at, okay, what are the comps, right? Like, what are the comparisons? If you were his agent, and I've spoken to him before, so take it for what it's worth. But if you're his agent, you know, you're looking at Devontae Adams. I mean, that's who you're looking at, because Devontae Adams a few years ago, and given this is a couple of years ago, got around $25 million a year. And he came out in the same draft. He signed a five-year, $140 million contract with Las Vegas and included $19.25 million signing bonus and $65.67 million guaranteed. The average annual salary, and of course, not every year was guaranteed, would be bumped up to $28 million. Well, he's not going to get $28 million, but Adams is now 31. And like I said, he came out in the 2014 draft class, but he was in the second round. He went in the second round to the Green Bay Packers. And Evans has currently more career receiving yards than Adams by a lot. He's got 1,100 in 680 to 10,781, so nearly 1,000 yards more. And just one fewer touchdown. He has 94. Adams has 95. Oh, yeah. He also helped the Bucs win a Super Bowl, which should count for something. And so, you know, if I was just going to throw a dart at something and try to hit the figure, I would say it's going to come close to $25 million on average. Now, again, structure is everything. How much is guaranteed? You know, is it 2 years? Is it 4 years? You know, $100 million with $50 million guaranteed, which is really a two-year $50 million deal, right? So, like, structure is not insignificant here. But does somebody out there want Mike Evans bad enough, thinks that he can put them over the top, has an elite quarterback looking for that big target, you know, that they would pay $25 million to him? Probably close to it, yeah. I think so. I think there'll be somebody. You know, and we've heard, you know, various speculations and nothing confirmed about, you know, the Chiefs, but the Chiefs, frankly, you know, couldn't afford Tyreek Hill. So you wonder, all right, well, I know they got rid of Marquez Valdes-Scantling the other day, and that saved them, you know, some money, $10, $11 million a year on the salary cap. But do they have the juice? Because they've got free agents that they want to re-sign as well, some of their own guys. And then I got to thinking about it. I haven't checked their salary cap information. Here's one for you, Steve. How about Baltimore? How about the Ravens, right, that took on an Odell Beckham at the end of the year, that kind of thing? How about the Baltimore Ravens with, oh, a guy named Todd Monken, who was one of Mike's early receivers coach, right, and then became a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He helped Mike. Mike struggled with drops, and he has really the last year or two. But in the beginning of his career, he really struggled with his hands. And Monk, I remember a book I wrote about this story. Monk had bought him a book to read to take some of the pressure off himself, because Mike's kind of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And he can get in his own head. But I mean, if you're the Ravens and you're looking for targets for Lamar Jackson, and you have an MVP quarterback who didn't play well in the postseason, but you could really use some elite targets, right? That makes sense to me, too.
It does. You know, can they make it work cap wise? That's always the question. But
yeah, sure.
You know, you've got what, Zay Flowers there?
Yeah, Zay Flowers is a really good receiver too. Mm-hmm. But you could use that. You know what I mean? Like they rented Odell Beckham for a half a year, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, they could definitely use a Mike Evans. I think that's especially. Look, guys like to go places they know people.
Monken, yeah, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great relationship with Todd, and Todd, not for nothing, got him open, you know, with much lesser quarterbacks named Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And who doesn't think Baltimore can't go to a Super Bowl?
Exactly. Exactly right. They can be right back in the championship game. Now, you know, Joe Burrow's going to come back and have something to say about that, and, you know, other teams too. But you have a two-time MVP quarterback there.
You look at the talent on that roster, and they can go to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. No question.
You know, that,
probably a lot easier than the Bucs can.
Which, and I'm guessing when Mike Evans says, or his agent says, they're looking to go somewhere with an elite quarterback, it's an elite quarterback that can make the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes. He wants to play for a winner.
Yeah.
He does not want to rebuild situation.
The organization's good enough now to win.
Yes. Yes. Like you could say, well, you know, what about New England? Because, I mean, you know, they could use somebody like him. Well, and there's a lot of people from the Cleveland Browns we talked about. In and around that staff, including their offensive coordinator. You know, but the thing about New England is, one, who's the quarterback? Okay, you could draft a guy with the third overall pick. Mac Jones hasn't done anything, but they're in rebuild mode, man. They got a new head coach. They got a whole new staff, new GM, all that. They're not ready to go and play in the big game, much less, you know, maybe even win the division. So you're not going to go to New England. Plus, I don't think he wants to, you know, necessarily go to New England. And the same is true, by the way, with Mayfield. I know Mayfield's been mentioned up there as well. And not that Baker wouldn't look at him, but a lot of the same reasons. I mean, Baker wants what Mike wants. In fact, they want it with each other. They want to be able to play together again and put those kinds of numbers up. And the one thing Mike knows, I think Mike can get 1,000 yards if I threw to him. And that's maybe an exaggeration, but he's done it with every quarterback that's ever played with him. And so, but the one thing he knows about Baker is, like, they had a little chemistry, 14 touchdowns, you know, that came back in a hurry last year because Mike had been down, you know, the last couple of years in terms of scores. But he knows that Baker can give him the football. And, you know, so I think he's fine with Baker. Now, is he, you know, again, is the agent talking about guys like Josh Allen? Like, who are we talking about? But I think Baker's probably in that mix. And all things considered, I think he does want to stay here. I think he'd love to play his whole career here. But the money's got to be the money, you know. And Jason Light said at the Combine that, hey, we're probably going to have to strain, was his word, to get Mike back, which all that means is that they could pay him more than they thought they would have to. But you know what? Part of this is to shame on the Bucks. And I wrote about this on Sunday because, and this is just what I believe has happened and what I've been told by people that would know. You know, we all know that last year Mike approached them and said, listen, how about an extension now? You know, why wait till free agency next year? I think I've earned it. And, you know, I want to stay here. Let's go do something. Well, they weren't in the greatest cap, to say the very least. They weren't in a great cap situation. That's true, right? But even having said that, they started some $77 million of dead money over the cap. And so you say, well, how could they sign anyone? But they navigated that. And the thing is, that included Mike's contract, which was, you know, his cap value was really high, higher than his average salary would have been if he'd have done a new deal. So you can't say cap with respect to Mike Evans because he had redone his contract so much and taken on so much dead money and voidable years and things like that, that the 2024 number would have actually gone down if you'd assigned him to an extension, because you could have then spread out the signing bonus and done some things with voidable years again and so on and so forth. And so his 2024, 2025 number would have actually been lower in 2023 as well. So they decided, when I say they, it you know, my information is it wasn't Jason Light. It wasn't Mike Greenberg. You can't really blame those guys. If you remember, the agent was saying he had no trouble with either one. From what I understand, the ownership said no. The ownership said, you know, hey, he's a 30-year-old receiver, and he agreed to do a 5-year deal, and that was his choice, and we signed him to it, and we were okay with it. Now he's coming to us a year before that 5-year deal is up, but he's 30 years old. And I don't think they felt comfortable, even though it was Mike Evans, I don't think they felt comfortable guaranteeing a guy a lot of money up front at age 30 and decided not to do it. And now it's costing them. It's going to cost them big time. Now, you know, the other thing is there's cap and there's cash, right? Like the Glazers and the Bucks paid out a lot of money, you know, for all those free agents that Tom Brady wanted. And they said no to no one, right? Whether it was Gronkowski, you know, I mean, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown. I mean, you can go down the line. And that took, you know, a lot of not just cap space, but actual dollars to pay those guys. Well, now I think, you know, they're trying to get the books better and, you know, kill some of that dead money and stuff like that. But more than that, they weren't dipping into their reserves and trying to sign a bunch of guys to extensions. And so, you know, I think Mike might have been part of that. But regardless, whoever decision it was, it turned out to be the wrong one. I think in that, you know, they're saying they really want the player back, but they could have had him for less a year ago. And now it's going to cost him because, as Jason Light said, he bet on himself and he won, you know, had a career year. And maybe that's why. Maybe that was some motivation too. Is that, oh, geez, you know, I'm auditioning for 31 other teams. These guys don't want me. Watch me go out here and hang 12-55 and 13 on everybody. So good for him, but bad for the Bucks. And they probably shouldn't be in this situation. If they had it to do over again, I'm sure they probably would have signed him to a below market deal. When I say below market, I mean under probably $20 million from what I heard. But they didn't do it. And now they're in this position today. So my experience with free agency is this. When he gets out there, he's going to enjoy being wined and dined because he's never been in that position. He signed an extension before he was a free agent after his first rookie deal. And he signed a 5-year deal, which that's, you know, part of this is on him too, because if he'd have done a 4-year deal, his deal would have been up a year earlier. He'd have been on the right side of age 30, and maybe they don't say that about him. Maybe they signed him to an extension. But he wanted 5 years. He got all 5 years, took all that money. And now, you know, we're going to find out just what his value is. But usually when you go out there and say a team like Baltimore or somebody, Kansas City, whoever it is, brings you in Okay. And they're going to take you to a nice steak dinner, and they're going to say unbelievably nice things about you, right? And just how you're the piece they need to win the Super Bowl this year. And chances are they're going to have a really good quarterback and a really good head coach. And they're going to say a lot of ways they're going to feature you. That's pretty intoxicating stuff if you've not been in that situation since college, since Texas A&M. And I think it's difficult as the, you know, the former team, like the Bucs, to reel a guy back in, you know? I mean, he knows what he has in Tampa. He knows, you know, Baker Mayfield, and he knows the organization, and, you know, they got a new coordinator, but there's going to be some carryover. No matter where he goes, he's going to have to learn a new offense, a new quarterback. He doesn't have to do some of that in Tampa Bay. And I do think there is some, you know, desire to remain and finish his whole career with one organization. I think that means something to him. But the one thing you can't guarantee is that once he gets out there and he's in name the city, he can't then just, you know, I mean, they'll do this, but it's not really, it's frowned upon, is where, you know, you've got an offer from Kansas City or the Baltimore or somewhere, and then the agent's going to get on the phone and say, well, Jason Light, we were able to get our 25 or 26 million. Are you in or are you not? I mean, in other words, there's no fight right or first refusal here, right? Like, you're just one of the 32 teams now. You have some sweat equity, but it's about money and opportunity to win and play well. And you have those things, but, you know, you're just one of all the teams in the league. So I think this is a dangerous place to be if you're the Bucs. And I don't know that it's going to affect Baker Mayfield in the sense that Baker won't come back without Mike Evans, but it's a factor, right? Because who's he throwing to? He's got Chris Godwin, okay? He's got Trey Palmer, who's a young receiver that probably overachieved for a sixth rounder, but isn't by any means a number two in this league yet. You know, you got some dudes, but you don't have the dude. You know, even Chris is, for as good as he's been throughout his career, he's not a number one receiver anymore. You know, if you want to say that he was 1A and 1B with Mike Evans, that's fine. But, you know, he's a slot guy, and that's where he needs. That's where they say they're going to move him back to. He's a combat catcher. He's not going to run by people. He's had some injuries that are pretty severe. And so you need a true number one, and you don't have it on the roster right now if Mike Evans leaves. So that's going to be something to watch. And I think, you know, Baker will be watching. You know, now he's got to do what's best for him and his family. And he played for, you know, an incredible discount a year ago. He wants to get paid. This will be the biggest deal he's ever done in his career, because he didn't make it to free agency with the Browns. So, you know, this is the big deal for Baker as well. And I think he does want to stay here, but it'd make it a hell of a lot easier if Mike Evans was coming with him. So we're going to have some interesting couple of days, Steve. I don't know how it's going to go. I really don't. I think that by Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I think that Antoine Winfield Jr. will either be signed or franchised. That much I can almost say for some certainty.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. I mean, you could always franchise Mike Evans, but that number's too high. You could franchise Baker Mayfield. That number's probably higher than you want to take on right now.
Right.
And so, but Antoine Winfield Jr. is a top 2-3 safety in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Young, impactful, and the franchise tag number is what, 16?
17
million? Yes, yeah, so, okay, 17 yeah. million, which is probably around what he's going to get. I mean, my I guess, think so. Actually, he'll get north of that, I think.
He could average 20 million, but the structure is what's, you know.
Right. So, and you cannot afford to lose Antoine Winfield Jr.?
No. You can't.
As you've said, you know, you could see him wearing a gold jacket one day.
Yeah, you don't trade. You can't let players like that, who you identified and what they get them in the second round or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let a guy like that walk out of your building when he's had not one, not two, but four unbelievable years. And his best year was last year. And he's an all pro. He's one of the top. Him and Jesse Bates are the two top safeties in the NFL. So that's an easy negotiation from Antoine's standpoint. Is like, look, I can't get top five money, which is your franchise tag. I need top two money, or maybe the number one highest paid safety this year. So that's what you're negotiating. But yeah, those guys can't walk out because you're not sure of Mike Evans. You're not sure of Baker Mayfield. You're not sure after this year of Tristan Wirfs, which I think will be the same discussion as Antoine. And that is, you better keep as many of the great players as you've identified and drafted as you can, because you've already got all that in them.
Particularly when they're young.
Yes, in the prime of their careers, yeah. Right. Yeah, so he'll be, to me, he'll be franchised. He's not going any place. I haven't heard where they're at from a contract standpoint. I think they'll either announce a deal by Tuesday, or they'll put the tag on him. That's what I expect to happen. So there's going to be a lot of news these next few days. Just keep it on TampaBay.com, Tampa Bay Times. We'll be writing about that. Also, the combine was very interesting. I thought the quarterback showed very well. There's some really, talented players. There's a lot of good offensive linemen. I keep thinking about this. Like, I think, and I'll be writing about this more as we get closer to the draft, but you definitely need an interior offensive lineman at guard and or center, right? Whether Hainsey moves over or you replace him. But, you don't have Aaron Stinney as who's a free agent. You don't have, Fiedler. And so to me, you need that position is open, right? So you could definitely go that way, although guard tends to be not necessarily if it is a first round, it's late first round, that's where they pick. But there's really interesting offensive linemen in this draft. The biggest thing to me, if I was just saying, like, what do you need is what you lost. You need an edge rusher. You need a dynamic edge rusher because, even though you really loved what Yaya Diaby did, and he could be great for years, and you certainly like the guy inside in Kalijah Kancey, Jo'Tron Tuimoloau is in his last season, and he has not shown very much. And you lost Shaq Barrett. You essentially cut him. So who are your edge guys, in this game? Now, they've gotten sacks, and their sacks haven't dropped off, but they've done it a different way. They did it with pressure. And the thing is that when you bring pressure, you also give up big plays on the other side. You're taken away from your coverage. So ideally, you want to get there and keep those sack numbers up by rushing four, not having to bring blitzes and things like this. So to me, again, it's, outside of quarterback number one, which is talking about value position quarterback, someone who quarterbacks or affects the quarterback are usually your highest positions. And edge rusher is right there. Probably at number two or number three would be left tackle because you have to protect the quarterback from that edge rusher. So that's usually how it goes. And then individual players, obviously, when you have a Marvin Harrison Jr., that's going to trump a lot of your linemen just because he's a special talent. I think edge rusher, and there's some guys that are good in this draft with that, might be a place the Bucks look. But we got lots of time. To look at the draft, and we will do that coming up in the next, week or so once we get past free agency. We're going to talk about, I don't know how else to say it, some sad news, a memorial that I attended on Friday night, and then Chris Mortensen, the longtime, sort of the OG, if you will, of information guys on ESPN, also died at age 72, and I got some thoughts about him, my relationship with both those guys, Martin Fenley as well, in just a second. But first, I want to remind you guys that, for the past 14 years now, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar, they've been installing solar energy systems in Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical, and equipment replacement, it's all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It is owned by the homeowner. There are no deductibles or additional fees, and this policy will transfer to new homeowners also with no fee. It is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors were allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and their history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. All right, this is not my favorite thing to do, and we talked about Martin Finley, Tom Jones and I, probably about a week ago or so, but we went to a memorial on Friday. Thanks to the Buccaneers, I think they deserve a hell of a lot of credit for providing the 76 Club on the east, club side of Raymond James Stadium as a venue to hold this memorial, which was so well done. Hard work, certainly by Joey Johnston and others, to put this together. It was incredible. It was humbling. And you've known Martin Finley for a long time, but it was humbling to see the number of people from both the Times and the Tribune, but more than that, just from the community, from the professional sports teams. John Cooper was there. Marty St. Louis, whose team was in town the next night, the Canadians played the Lightning in that overtime shootout that the Lightning won. But Martin St. Louis took the time to come there and spoke, and had some great things to say. And Tino Martinez and Tony Dungy and, just the whole community of sport, if you will, and folks that I've known for, three decades, all came to talk about their memories and listen to the memories of Martin Finley, whose work speaks for itself and will. His words will live on forever. Very quirky guy, very interesting style of writing. Talked about how that developed in his years at Missouri and other places he had gotten and stopped before he got to the Tampa Tribune and then the Tampa Bay Times. But just so well done, and just, actually it was humbling. You think about the measure of a man's life, and when it's over, like, what will you remember? That's all you have, right? You can't pull, the hearse can't pull the house, the job, the money, and all that behind you. But it's how somebody made you feel or how you felt about them that we remember. And Martin made everybody feel really special. Martin was somebody that took time with everyone. In fact, this is one of my favorite stories from the night, Steve, and you might remember this, because you know the history of this guy. But when Marty St. Louis came to Tampa Bay, he was not a star by any means.
No, he was kind undrafted.
And played
in Calgary for a short time, but
Calgary, right?
Undrafted, and had that chip on his shoulder, but yeah, it was not a star.
But had not become even close to a star. In fact, he was trying to survive in the NHL. He was trying to find a place for himself in the NHL. And early on, for whatever reason, Martin Finley really liked Marty St. Louis, and not the biggest guy in stature, he's 5'8", 5'9", whatever it is, but he was intrigued by him. And as reporters do, you spend a lot of time covering a team or in the room, as they say in hockey, or the locker room or the clubhouse in baseball. There are times when the cameras aren't there that when everybody leaves, Martin would always stand there with Marty and talk to him and sit down, and they'd talk about everything. They talk about non-hockey stuff. But early on in his career, when Marty was trying to find his way in Tampa, Finley would write some really good stuff about him, about how he thought he should play more. Thought he was an exciting young player and, really liked him and all this stuff. And so he told the story that Marty's wife, during this time would say to Marty St. Louis, that, this guy's really giving you, he said some really nice things. You need to help this guy. You need to be nice to this guy. He could really, he gets it. He sees what you can bring. And so that relationship sort of began there with Finley. And Marty was very sincere about it. He goes, he helped me. I would go back and read the stuff he wrote. And when my confidence wasn't very high, and I think, this is what I can do. So I thought that's interesting. You never know the impact maybe that you have on a young athlete or a young player when you have a column like that. Tino Martinez, same thing. He had stories about how Finley would wait out the crowd, and on the World Series. And he said, I could hit two home runs in a World Series game and Martin would be the last one there. And he'd want to ask me about the error I made at first base or something like that. I just think of anything he could connect with him. Just wonderful stories by a lot of people, of course, people that work with him and knew him and loved him. And it was inspiring. It really was that His work will live on, and certainly all of us, you know, will remember him really forever because of how he made you feel. And just an interesting guy and just a really nice evening. And then, as if that wasn't emotional enough to go through on Friday night, so Sunday afternoon, I see it come across the wire from Adam Schefter and others that Chris Mortensen, remember the Mort Report on ESPN, the insider, the NFL insider, really the first
one of the
NFL
original
insider.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah, he's the OG, really, to come from the Atlanta Constitution and be that journalist to make that crossover to TV as the info guy. He passed away at age 72. He'd been battling for years. It seems like more than a decade, but maybe not that long. But he had gotten throat cancer, and, you know, had to go through radiation and chemo. It really made it was painful because I remember him telling me, you know, just with all the chemo and different things, just how sore his throat was, affected his speech. He had trouble being on TV for a while until his vocal cords got stronger, and lost a considerable bit of weight because eating is difficult. And so, you know, it was sort of unexpected. Like when I talked to my friend Ed Werder, who's very close to Mort, he said that he was planning on at least going to a golf tournament that they got coming up here pretty soon. He goes, and I don't think he would have talked about it that way, but he did mention how difficult it had been for him of late, you know, just everything, right? Just breathing, eating, living, you know, all that stuff. But that he had gone to, some breakfast place and had, was trying to put on more weight and seemed pretty optimistic. And then, of course, the news came across age 72, just way, way too soon for someone like that. But from my perspective, and, of course, Ed Werder, who's a friend of mine, he was instrumental in Ed Werder even getting to ESPN. You know, he encouraged him to go to CNNSI, which at that time was like a TV deal, that then turned into an ESPN contract for Ed. The thing about Mort was, for all of us in journalism, he was that North Star, right? He was that guy that did it, you know? And you know, like you said, one of the first sort of journalists to cross over into television. And I worked with him. I competed against him for some national stories as well. There wasn't anybody who was more gracious with their time. And I'm talking about, this dude was a star. Like, no, you think Adam Schefter is good? Adam Schefter is who he is because of Mort, right? Because he became Mort's right-hand guy. And Adam has been effusive in his praise and sort of what Mort has meant to him. But, you know, the guy, you know, when I did like eight years on ESPN, sort of when they used to do it, they had people that didn't work for ESPN that were also called insiders. And I was on First Take and before that Cold Pizza, and we did this thing called Cover 2 all the time. And there was, you know, a handful of us, Jim Trotter, I'm sure people have heard that name, Bob Glauber, Shereen Williams, myself. And we would be on, you know, once a week, take turns and have news and notes throughout the NFL, not just the teams we covered. And so Mort was really good about, you know, because he was so generous and he heard things and he would always pass them along and make you look good on TV. He'd give you all kinds of pointers and tips and things like that. But just one guy, he's the kind of guy that would just pick up the phone if he saw something you did and you may not even, you know, particularly thought it was your best work or, but he would notice things and he'd call you and just give you a compliment. And I can't tell you what that meant coming from a Chris Mortensen, you know? And I remember in particular, one of the bigger news stories that I broke in my career was the fact that they were going to fire Tony Dungy, if and when he lost to the Philadelphia Eagles after the 2001 season, because they had not given him a contract extension. And they were a couple weeks in negotiations at that point with Bill Parcells, who was at ESPN at the time. And so I wrote this story prior to the playoff game. And that was back in the days where your stories weren't posted on the internet. So everybody had to read it in the newspaper the next day. The Bucks are flying up to Philadelphia that morning guys are on the radio from the team and others saying, oh, this is bogus. This is not true. This guy didn't know what he's talking about, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they were well into it. What then became a contract that they had actually had signed by Parcells that they trotted out a year later. And the deal was done. And you know, only Tony winning against Philadelphia, and they didn't. I think they got beat like 31-9. And Tony was, in fact, fired. And Parcells was, in fact, their number one candidate. He backed out. He got cold feet. Anyway, long story endless. Of course, Mort is sitting next to Bill Parcells and their colleagues. And Bill's not ready to announce anything. And Mort knew everything because it's his job. But he was kind of sworn by Bill Parcells, who would kick his butt if he put something out there too soon and jeopardize the deal, not to mention that Dungy was still coaching. But I had no such ties or allegiances or anything else. So I was able to write it. And I remember Mort calling me and saying, hey, man, just want to tell you, hell of a job. I've known this. We've not been in a position to really report that just yet. And for obvious reasons, you know, he works for us and sits next to me and all that stuff. But he goes, but, you know, you got everything right. Like he was, you know, that was the biggest words that he said that mattered to me. But he didn't have to do that. Like he didn't have to call and give me peace at a time when everybody else was questioning what the hell I was writing. So it's just who he was. And the one thing I'll leave you with is that he told me, and I think about it all the time, after he had gotten cancer and he was going through, you know, quite a bit of pain because of his throat and all of that. We were watching Adam Schefter work, and Adam, there's, you know, I mean, Adam's, I can't even begin to tell you, he's unbelievable, right? Like he just, his work ethic and the amount of work that this guy does is inhuman sometimes. But we were watching Adam work. I was waiting to go on ESPN for some hit at I think it was at the Combine NFL owners meeting someplace. And Mort, we're sitting there, I was sitting there with Mort, and he'd been through what he'd been through with the cancer, and he was working sporadically, having trouble talking and things like that. He just said, Rick, he goes, and I've told Adam this, see what he's doing? He goes, it's great what he does for his job. He's the best at it. No question. He goes, but he says, you got to find some balance in your life. This is what we do is great, but it is not what's important. Your family's important, your wife, your children. Make sure that you set aside time because we all get caught up in this hamster wheel, you know, in the NFL of covering things 24/7, especially at their level, not so much mine. But I'll never forget, you know, he had, you know, gotten a heavy dose of what's important. And I just wish that he had more time because that wasn't that long ago and he's only 72. And for those of you that aren't in your 50s yet, that seems really old. It's not. And, you know, so Godspeed to him and his family and everybody else that he, now this guy, just go online now and read athletes. Keyshawn Johnson tweeted out that he was in tears over it. You know, and Keyshawn transitioned. He used to cover Keyshawn, and they went at it when he was with the Jets in the tunnels after games, you know. And I remember the Bucks lost to the Jets down here after Keyshawn left New York, and Wayne Krabet had all these catches, and Keyshawn had called him something like, you know, the mascot and all this stuff. And Krabet went off, and then Mort was chasing him down in the tunnel after at the stadium after the game. And they kind of got in each other's. It was funny, but it was confrontational a little bit. But, you know, Keyshawn went into broadcasting at ESPN, and like everybody else, Mort literally took him under his wing. And you can just see these emotional tributes from players, from coaches, from really everybody he came into contact with because he was just – not just the best at what he did, but just a great human being. So he will be missed. And enough of the funerals. I hope that everybody stays healthy out here and we don't have to talk about more people, certainly in my business, that passed away. But it's been kind of an emotional weekend, if you will.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And then finally, speaking of the Lightning, and we're talking about, you know, Marty St. Louis, John Cooper was also at this memorial. I had a chance to talk with him, Steve, and boy, anytime I meet him, I'm like, yeah, you're kind of that guy, right? Like, you got so much charisma. So it was fun meeting him. But they went out and played Montreal the next night, and were down 2-0. Lackluster first period. Terrible, really. Barely had any shots. Just didn't play well. Didn't come out with any energy. Managed to tie the game up. They got him to drag them into overtime. Never led until the shootout. And they win it in a shootout. Vasilevsky was tremendous. I think Victor Hedman had the decisive goal. And so they got their 2 points. But, man, that was much-needed 2 points.
Much needed. And, you know, they're sitting in a pretty good spot, although the next 2 weeks, teams are going to start making up those games in hand.
Yeah.
Because the Lightning played Saturday. They don't play again until Thursday.
Yeah, they go Thursday, Saturday. Again,
and then they don't play again until next Thursday.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really weird schedule. So, but basically the teams behind them in the standings right now, all the games in hand, some of them 3, 4, 5 games in hand.
Right.
Those teams pretty much have to win all those games in hand to catch the Lightning. I think one or two of them could go a point ahead if they win all of them.
If they swept, yeah.
But, you know, all their winning percentages are just barely above 500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for them to do that would be spectacular. So Lightning just need to keep, as John Cooper would say, munching points.
Yeah.
Which, it wasn't pretty Saturday night, particularly the beginning. I thought they got better as the game went along. Made a couple of mistakes. Ended up in their net.
The turnovers, man. It just, everything ends up in the back of their net when they turn it over.
It really does. I mean, you know, 87 seconds into the game, Montreal scores on a 3-on-1.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that kind of stuff. But they fought back. They persevered. They tied it at 2, then went down 3-2, tied it back at 3. Killed off a 4-on-3 penalty in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And forced the shootout. And they're now, you know, it's funny because this team used to be really bad in shootouts.
I know. Now they've turned the corner, yeah, right?
They're 3-0 this year.
Yeah.
Like the last few years, they've been really good at shootouts.
And I mean,
they were awful at them.
Montreal had, you know, because they got on top and they had their chances where they could have ended it 4 or 5 times. And Vasi kept hanging in there until finally Hedman scored.
Yeah, and Montreal's not a very good team, but they play hard. And they're still young. They're improving. They're, you know, Marty St. Louis got them on the right track. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. But, you know, you can see that even though the season's, you know, not going to go into the postseason, like, there's no quit in this team.
No, they got after it.
You know, and talking to some of the Montreal people, it's, you know, they've played pretty well. They just can't get that extra goal when they need it.
Yeah.
Like Saturday night, you know, one more goal.
And they put it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the way they are. But that's what a young, still developing team does.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, it wasn't pretty, but the Lightning got 2 points, which is all that matters right now. They got, 19 games to go in the season.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's crunch time. And I guess the good news is if they don't get caught with the games at hand, they're getting really much needed rest at a time when you're going to need all of it, right? Because if you do go into the postseason, there's really just a day off in between here and there. But everybody has the same days off then. But this is a nice break. But
for instance, from March 2nd to March 30th, the Lightning play 11 games. From March 2nd to March 30th, the Penguins play 16. 16 games in 29 days.
Yeah, that's a lot of hockey. Like,
now, the Penguins, by that time, will be caught up in games in hand on the Lightning.
Yeah, but they'll also be gassed. But
16 games, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get your legs back at a time when you could really use them. Mm-hmm. You just got to hope that you're in it, you know, and that rest will help you.
Yep. And then the trade deadline's this Friday, so we'll see.
They're gonna do something. I think they're gonna do something. I don't know what it is. Defense.
If you look at what Julian Breezeball has done in the past, he's definitely not afraid to pull the trigger, and he's not afraid to give up assets, whether prospects, picks, etc. But it's always for the price he's willing to pay. You know, I don't think he'll do a trade just to make a trade and overpay for what he thinks. Like, I think he will make moves. They've got cap space because of Mikhail Sergachev's injury.
Yeah, that was not expected, and it's kind of a bonus for him, actually.
Now, one of the players rumored is Noah Hanifin, defenseman for Calgary, who's in town Thursday. So he may just stay over after the game.
Put a jersey on. There you go. Makes it easy. Honey, I'm not coming home.
And, you know, the reports are that he wants to play in Tampa Bay. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, but it sounds like he would like to play here. Now, you know, he's making almost $5 million this year. Can you afford him long term?
All that stuff can be answered if you come in and have a good audition for the last month of the season, right?
Yeah.
And then postseason.
You know, the biggest question is, do the Lightning have enough assets to pull that kind of trade off? Do they have enough?
They don't have draft picks. I mean, I know that.
They don't have a first or second round pick this year. They don't have a first round pick next year.
Right.
You know, which prospects are appealing?
Sure.
You know, the hard part about winning is you draft late.
That's right.
Or if you're the Lightning, you've traded most of those picks, even drafting late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they signed a couple undrafted players to contracts this week that'll start next year. You know, younger guys that, you know, you hope can develop into prospects. You find guys like Emil Lilleberg, who you signed from, you know, one of the European leagues there. And, you know, you're trying to find those pieces because you haven't drafted much.
Right.
And not that you've missed on draft. You just haven't had picks. So you're looking to fill your prospect pool different ways and make impacts. I mean, Mitchell Chafee was
he's done great.
A free agent and was undrafted, and they really like his game. I mean, you're seeing him in there. They're going 11-7, and he's in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they're sitting Alex Barry-Boulé and Austin Watson, so Mitchell Chafee gets in there. And they're giving him time on the second line, too.
Yeah, he was up there, yeah.
Like, and John Cooper, you know, just praises his you know, winning puck battles.
Right.
Which, for a young player, you know, you know if you can find a guy who can win puck battles,
well, that's huge.
You'll take, you know, you love that as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's what the Lightning are trying to do. But, you know, are those type of players, you know, Lilleberg or Chafee or, you know, Max Crozier, who's played really well and he's back up now. You know, are those assets enough that someone may make a deal or draft picks, et cetera? We'll see. But Friday afternoon is the trade deadline. So I think three or 4 o'clock, something like that.
So Friday afternoon for the NHL and Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock for the Bucks franchise player tag to see if they're going to use that on Antoine Winfield Jr. or anyone else for that matter. And then, of course, free agency coming up here by the time we get to early next week or the weekend. So lots going on this week. You can always get your mailbag questions in as well. I had a couple of those we didn't get to, but we will throughout the week. You can do that by sending them to us on Twitter or X. At Sports Day TB. Reach me on Twitter at Tampa. You reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud. I almost forgot my Twitter handle there. And you can email it to us at rstroud@tampabay.com. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.